Welcome to the Prosperity Podcast, fresh, alternative personal finance talk for independent thinkers who prosper outside of Wall Street. Here's your hosts, best-selling author Kim D.H. Butler and no BS money guy, Todd Strobel.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Prosperity Podcast. This is No BS Money Guy, Todd Strobel. Once again, we have our co-host and best-selling financial author, Kim Butler, with us today. And I have been out looking around on the internet. And of course, one of the big names out there from the magazine days even is Kiplinger Magazine. And Kiplinger has developed a test of your financial fluency. Fluency. How about that? That's it. I guess it maybe could be affluency.
I love alliteration. So okay. Financial fluency sounds fun.
Okay. So if anybody wants to check this out, you can go to kiplinger.com and take the test yourself. But interestingly enough, neither Kim or I have seen this. So we're going to take it right now with you. And hopefully we'll all have some fun out of this. So here we go. You've saved $25,000 for a down payment on a house. You plan to buy within 1 year. Which of the following is the safest place to keep your money? A, under your mattress. B, stocks. C, bonds. D, bank savings account. And because I know how you're going to answer this, potentially E, something else you might come up with.
Awesome. I love making up answers that don't exist. So absolutely, a bank savings account. And letter E, which is one better than a bank savings account, but it's going to, of course, come with a qualifier, is absolutely cash value of life insurance. And yet, I want to be clear. Well, first of all, I should be clear. It's cash value of whole life insurance, not any other kind. But I also want to be clear that if that's all you had and that's all you are going to be able to work with, then a one-year time frame is not a good way to use the cash value of life insurance. So you'd want to use life insurance if you had the ability to save some extra money on top of this $25,000 that you had, like, you know, $300, $400, $500 a month kind of thing. And then you could absolutely put the $25,000 in with paid-up additions, borrow against it, and use it for your down payment. And then you would work on paying both your mortgage back and your quote down payment loan back. That's a loan from the life insurance company to you with their money while your $25,000 remains in your policy serving as collateral. But again, that's not going to work if that's all you have. So we'll just be a good girl and go with D, bank savings account.
Absolutely. D makes a lot of sense. And like you said, the reason that the whole life insurance is a little more difficult with the 1 year time frame is that putting that money takes a couple few years to build up in the policy that way. So you know, a lot of times people want to put the money in and take it out literally the next day. And I think there's it takes at least 12 months, isn't it?
Correct. Yeah. Most dollars need to stay in 12 months.
Super. All right. So we're going to go with D. And looks like we're scored one correctly. All right. What's the fastest and easiest way to boost your paycheck? A. Oh, these are wonderful. Suck up to the boss. B. Get a second job. Or C. Adjust your tax withholding.
Those are my only choices?
Sorry, that's it.
Okay, so I want to add one again. My new answer, and you're a great one to always remind us to think this way, is how about D, add more value to what you're doing so that you are earning more. You have the potential to earn more. But never mind that. We'll take a look at ABC real quick. And so I'm going to go with, yeah, you could go ahead and, was it C that would adjust your tax holdings? And yet at the same time, you're going to want to be very careful because if you are getting a refund back on your return, always surprises me how many people mix up those two words. If you're getting a refund back on your return, then absolutely you want to adjust your holdings because you don't really want a refund. That's not a good way to quote save money. Yet, if you are not getting a refund and you adjust your tax withholdings, then you are likely going to owe money in April when you file your taxes of the following year. That's not a bad thing. You just need to be prepared for that. So adjusting taxes to where you come out pretty even, Steven, is ideal. And you can absolutely make that happen with help from your human resources department. And yet, if you want to owe a little, that's not a bad thing. I don't like the idea of getting a refund just because it basically means the government used your money for 12 to 18 months and didn't give you a dime of interest on it. But I still want to add D, add more value. That's the way you increase your paycheck.
Super. Well, since we don't have a D, I put the C in, and of course we got that one right.
Okay.
And it just kind of does kind of go into a little bit more detail, just reminding our listeners that the amount of exemptions that you claim has nothing to do with the number of dependents that you have.
Yes, that's a good distinction. And this is a tough thing to learn about. I just am always surprised myself when I look through some of that information. It takes a little bit of digging sometimes to understand all the descriptions and distinctions.
All right, let's try another one. What will help most toward building a good credit history or repairing a bad one? A, pay bills on time and keep credit card balances low. B, limit applications for new credit and keep old accounts open. Or C, sweet talk the credit card company phone rep.
Interesting. We don't have an all of the above.
Nope.
That's actually going to be hard to know what's the supposed correct answer. I guess I'm going to go with A. You know, I did learn the other day, and I was so surprised by this, that your credit card should really never be more than 30% of your available balance. In other words, let's say you have a $1,000 credit limit. Sorry, available limit. I said balance. That was confusing. You have a 30, sorry. Okay, let's try this again. Your credit card balance should never be more than 30% of your limit. If you have a $1,000 limit, you really only ever want your balance to be at $300 because apparently, and like I said, this was news to me, you have a risk of impeding your credit score, the thing that should be above 700 or 720 ideally, if you use more than 30% of your credit card limit, which to me is crazy. Why do you have a limit and then only be able to use 30% of it? But because of that knowledge, I'm going to go with A.
All right. I think I'm going to probably agree with you there as well, although I think the applications thing is another way that, you know, when you apply for a loan, there's a time period that they assume you're shopping for a car or you're shopping for a mortgage or whatever, and they really doesn't hurt you. But if you're continuously looking to refinance or something like that, I know those applications can be bad too. So
yeah, I will support that knowledge. And I will also say that leaving old accounts open is good because of the history that's on there, as long as you are using them. I think a mistake that a lot of people make is maybe they get a store card and then another store card and then another store card, and they're not really using any of them. And then they have their main sort of Visa MasterCard thing that they're actually using. And those other store cards are just hanging out there taking up space, literally. In other words, if a mortgage broker looks at your credit, they're going to assume that you turn around and max out those credit cards any day of the week because you actually can. So you want to be careful with those older ones for sure.
Okay, I'm going to go along with that. Which investment offers the highest growth potential for your long-term goals? A, treasury bonds. B, money market. C, stocks, or D, residential real estate?
Interesting. So I know that they are going to want to hear stocks, and that was letter C, correct?
That is an option.
And so I am going to say that, but this is one of those areas where I want to add my two cents, because long-term growth in stocks is going to be accurate only as long as you can put up with the roller coaster ride of up and down and up and down and up and down. And there is some good to that. You know, people like stocks. They like being involved in the stock market. They like the idea of something for nothing. Like, oh, I could put a little bit in and all of a sudden the stock market takes off and now I have a lot of money. And that's what we call growth. And yet we need to be very, very careful that we're aware of what comes with that growth. And one of the biggest things that often comes with it, especially when you're doing your stocks inside a mutual fund environment, are fees. And then also the opportunity cost of those fees, because fees are typically taken out every quarter or at least every year. And then obviously that money is no longer earning. So that's what opportunity cost is. And those things can be very, very detrimental to the growth of money. Now, if you're just buying an individual stock and holding onto it and letting it grow, you're not going to have the fees, but you're also going to have probably a lot bigger roller coaster ride. So I'll just throw out that we really like alternative things, different things to have our money grow and our clients' money grow. And our favorite asset for growth is something called senior life settlements, which tend to grow and not roller coaster ride. So if anybody is interested in information on that, they should send us an email to hello@partners4prosperity.com, and we'll send them some information so that they can learn a little bit about it.
All right, next question. You are unemployed, single, childless, in good health, and drive a clunker. Which insurance could you most likely do without? A, life insurance. B, health insurance. Or C, auto insurance?
Well, of course, the answer is life insurance. So we'll just add our two cents in that there's a difference between needing life insurance, which clearly this person does not, and wanting life insurance, because you can use whole life insurance as a good place to store cash. And so this person does not need it, but they might want it. And I'll just say the same thing. If you're hearing this for the first time and interested in information, then let us know and we'll send it to you. Hello@partners4prosperity.com.
Which of these accounts or products is protected by the federal government against loss? A, a 401k. B, a 529 plan. C, municipal bonds. D, certificate of deposit. Or E, none of the above.
Absolutely. Good for them. They have E, which is none of the above. The sentence read, protected by the government against loss. And so there's two challenges with that. And this is something that a lot of people are aware of and many, many people are not. And that is that the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation is a FDIC, an entity, I'm going to use that word, out there that a lot of people is federal. In other words, like the federal government, and it's not. And a lot of people also assume that it's insurance, i.e. protecting against loss, and it does not. So what an awesome question that they asked. Absolutely. The answer is E, none of the above.
Unfortunately, they say the answer is D.
You are kidding me. They say that a certificate of deposit,
a bank CD, falls under federal protection if it's FDIC insured. That means up to $250,000 is protected in case a bank goes under, and you get up to $250,000 of insurance at each bank you buy CDs.
Wow. Well, I'm disappointed in them. They should know better. I can see why they're saying what they're saying, because yes, there is an agreement of the taxpayers to make payments when a bank goes under to people that had assets at that bank, but that is not insuring it against loss and is not a federal entity. So this is just an example of where the press doesn't always know the whole truth.
I would say it's a great question that, depending on how you're interpreting the question, you could answer either way.
Yes, very interesting.
So that just kind of shows you how confusing the financial markets are out there. I mean, that's very interesting.
Yes.
Ashley, age 20, contributes $3,000 per year to an individual retirement account for 10 years, then stops, letting her money sit in the account. Adam, age 30, contributes $3,000 each year to an IRA for 35 years. Who will have more money at age 65, assuming they get identical investment returns?
So the answer is Ashley. I know that without having to run the math. And it is surprising. You think, oh my gosh, 10 years of contributions and then nothing. But the key to that was that they were early and often. And so very opposite of our go slow, start small recommendation that we make all the time when people are looking at our investments, this is contribute early and contribute often. And so, yes, that's a fabulous thing to do if you're young and you've got a little bit of extra money, save it, save it, save it. Whether it's in an IRA, it wouldn't be my most favorite place, but frankly, the act and the verb of saving is way more important than the noun of where you put it, the savings account, the IRA, the life insurance policy, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, Ashley's going to have a lot more money than Adam because she started early and contributed often.
Absolutely correct. That was a good question.
Yay!
I like that one.
Yeah.
What does not affect your auto insurance rates? A, your credit score. B, your car make and model. C, your car color. Or D, your address.
I'm going to go with car color, even though that's the first question I always have when people tell me they get a new car. Well, what color is it? But yeah, color doesn't matter. And it is interesting to bring up that credit score absolutely does. In fact, credit score is starting to impact more and more things these days. So it's definitely something that people want to pay attention to. And of course, address does, and make and model. I remember when I was fairly young, I'd had a couple cars and I had a little extra money and I was looking at getting a sports car of some sort. And somebody suggested to me that I check how much it was going to be to insure it. I was shocked at the difference from my totally nice sort of four-door sedan thing that I'd had to this little peppy sports car. It was quite a noticeable difference in the cost to insure it. So that's definitely something worth checking out.
Big difference in insuring the boys versus the girls too.
Yes, very true, especially when they're younger. Absolutely.
When do children need to file a tax return? A, at age 16, B, at age 18, C, when they get their first job, or D, when their income reaches certain levels?
It is D, when your income reaches certain levels. I want to say it's around 6,000, give or take. I don't want to be quoted on that, even though I just said it on the podcast, but I think that's the amount. So it really doesn't matter what age you are. I mean, you could be 25, you could be 15. It's irrelevant, but it's the amount of money. And if there's a certain amount of money that you are earning, then a return must be filed. Now, you can still offset a lot of that earnings through your own personal exemption and depending on how you're paid, possibly additional deductions against that income. But the return must still be filed.
Got it. And for those of us who have own businesses, this is a great opportunity to maybe pay your children to help do some things for your business, and then they can learn how to manage money and you can write off the income that you pay them as an expense of your business, correct?
Absolutely. It's a great strategy to use and helpful to everybody. It gets the kid learning how to handle things. It helps them be involved in the filing of a tax return. It helps them understand how taxes are dealt with and wages. A whole bunch of good there, in addition to, as you said, for the parent, the deductibility and some involvement with the kid in the business.
You can withdraw contributions you made to a Roth IRA at any time for any purpose without paying any taxes or penalties and without having to pay it back ever. True or false?
True. So this is your own money. It was put in after tax anyway. And now, as indicated there, you can withdraw it out. You cannot withdraw out any earnings that that money, the growth that that money created, but the actual dollars that were yours that were already after tax can, without any date specifications, be withdrawn. And that is a handy thing and probably something that a lot of people are not aware of.
You know, we actually have a couple podcasts out there. I think if you look on taking a traditional IRA and converting it to a Roth IRA, if you're really in a situation where that might benefit you. It's kind of a technical question, but one worth looking into if you meet the requirements to do that.
Absolutely. And I'll just say, too, that a Roth IRA can have some benefits without a doubt. However, it's not generally my favored first thing for people to contribute to because the growth is locked up till 59 and a half. And there are other things that can get you the same tax law. So this is after tax money going in, growing then without being taxed and coming out completely tax-free. There are other things that can accomplish that and yet not hold the growth hostage until you're 59 and a half. So something worth checking out. If this is an area for you, you've got a little bit of extra money that could be saved, you kind of like that tax law, you should take a look at the Roth IRA tax law, but then also the life insurance tax law, which does the same thing. One other note to make, and that is that the Roth IRA tax law is only half the story. You still need to decide what you're going to invest that money in. And so we have a variety of places that are fabulous for Roth IRA type money or a regular IRA type money that will provide really good growth while you're in that phase of your financial life. And then other ones that provide fabulous monthly income while you're in that phase of your financial life. So again, questions, hello at Partners Number 4 Prosperity, our special email just for our podcast listeners. Happy to help.
Thank you for listening to the Prosperity Podcast. To take control of your money and have it work for you, visit us at partnersforprosperity.com. If you liked this episode, make sure you subscribe and leave a review.